Good morning, everyone. It is Wednesday, August 23rd, 2017, and the Green Bay Packers were back on the practice field Wednesday for the first time since their second exhibition game against Washington over the weekend. It was a really busy day in terms of news. There was a lot of guys returning to practice from an injury standpoint and just sort of a loaded day. So Tom Silverstein is here with me to break some of that down. My name is Michael Cohen, and this is the Packers Podcast. Well, what jumped out to you about the guys that were back, Tom?
First, I think you said Wednesday. It was Tuesday's practice.
That's right. Tuesday's practice. Sorry, yeah, I'm getting ahead of myself.
You know, it is really hard to know what day it is in training camp. It just goes constantly, and there's no kind of rhyme or reason to it because the games are on different times or different days. It's one of the things about training camp that is really odd. Just, I never know what day it is. I never do.
Well, the practice was Tuesday. And they got a lot of guys back from injury, as I mentioned. So players that came back to the field, Colby Pearson, Malachi Dupree, Demarius Randall, Aaron Peck, Ty Montgomery. Which of those do you think is pretty significant at this point in time for the Packers?
Montgomery was the most significant. They really got to get him some carries, get him back in the swing of things. You know, he had a pretty decent amount of training camp, but I think he's got to continue to develop his relationship with the offensive line and with the system. And he's got to stay healthy. He's got to show he can take a pounding and stay healthy. So I think that was probably number one. Demarius Randall, I think he needs some time, but not a lot. He's a guy who knows the defense. I think they're just fine-tuning some stuff in the secondary. So I would say those were the two biggest.
You had a chance to talk to Montgomery a little bit about what the workload might be like for him this coming week, because Denver is kind of a unique environment. What did he have to say about this weekend's game?
Yeah, so there are players. He has the sickle cell trait, and there are players who've had really bad reactions to the high altitude in Denver, including Ryan Clark, who is a safety with Washington, had to have his gallbladder and spleen removed because he overdid it there. And it's one of those things. So Montgomery said it doesn't really affect him that way. He said it affects everybody differently. And he said he's played in high-altitude games, and he's only going to play probably a couple series in this game. It's a matter, I think, of the way I understand it is overworking your body, and you start to get signs of that. He said he's pretty aware of what the signs are. So I don't know. That's his take. I don't know enough about it to question, second-guess him on it, but he's going to play, it sounds like.
And you said that this is a chance for him, well, at least at some point between now and the Rams game, he needs to get a consistent number of carries. You know, this was a game this past weekend where the running backs got a little bit more work, but of course he wasn't there. He didn't play against Washington. And so this is an important game for him.
It is. It is a good chance against a good defense, see if they can run the ball. He's probably not going to play in the last preseason game. They need to look at those three rookies. So I would say this is his best chance to kind of get on the same page with the offense.
And then you mentioned Demarius Randall. I had a chance to talk to him in the locker room today, and he sort of continued – or yesterday, rather. I'm going to keep screwing that up. Mm. He sort of brought back the – or extended the Twitter feud a little bit with him and Bryce Treggs. So Treggs was the guy that hit him in the first exhibition game against Philadelphia. Of course, Randall suffered a concussion, and basically he said that he thought the comment from Treggs about sort of whining about the $25,000 fine was disrespectful because there's a very large number of people that thought it was an illegal hit or at least a dirty play. And so Randall basically said he thought it was disrespectful, and in his opinion, there should have been a suspension. That's what he thinks should be the punishment for those types of plays.
Yeah, but I don't. That's not the protocol.
It's
a fine first time.
Just what he thought. Somebody asked him what they thought could be done about that type of a play, and he said he would prefer a suspension over a fine.
Yeah, Looking at it, I don't think the block was bad. It was just leading with his helmet.
Agreed.
That was bad. And, you know, I don't know. That's for them to fight over in Twitter. You know, $25,000 is a lot of money, but, you know, maybe it will teach him not to lead with his head the next time.
Especially when you're comparing a first-round pick and an undrafted guy. The salaries are a little bit different in that regard. So sticking with the defensive backs a little bit, we've gone through some position previews over the last week. We did wide receivers and we did quarterbacks, and today we're going to look at the DBs a little bit. So let's start with the corners, and where would you like to begin with that position group?
Let's start with Devon House on one outside position. I suspect he'll start on the left side. They got to get him back at some point, but I think Capers said today exactly what's going on, which is he's got a hamstring injury. They're not going to let that thing get bad for the season. They're going to make sure it's 100% healed. So I think they're being extra precautious, and they're going to make sure that he's completely healed and that it's, you know, he's fine with it. So we won't see him again probably the rest of training camp. You start there. He's their shutdown corner. He's the guy who will be their number one. Then you have to go over the other side on the outside. And really, you probably have to start at the slot first. You should go to the slot next, because the winner of – or the loser of the slot is probably going to go outside.
Right.
And right now the competition's between Demarius Randle, Quentin Rollins, and Ladarius Gunter. And it's really Randle and Rollins.
Right.
And how they want to do that. I asked Capers about it, too. How's he going to make that decision? And he effectively said he doesn't have to make that decision, that he can make that decision week after week, based on matchups and how guys are playing. So against Seattle, you know, where they have some bigger receivers, they might go with Rollins there. And or they might want Randle closer to the line of scrimmage because he's faster, and they plan on shadowing Russell Wilson. I don't know. It'll be kind of interesting to see that.
You mentioned that Devon House would probably start on the left side. Do you think that that is more of what they're going to try and do this year, playing sides, compared to what they had to do down the stretch last year, which is track some of the best receivers?
Yeah, I think it's good to keep guys on the same side, other than, you know, your slot guys move around. But force the offense, if the offense likes going to one side, then, you know, putting him on the right side, or the left side of the Packers defense, right side of the offense, which is where a lot of receivers like to go because they're facing the quarterback, then, you know, you're ready no matter what they do. I don't think it's too big a deal. The only time you really need to shadow a guy is when it's Julio Jones or Calvin Johnson. You can't put a Demarius Randle on Calvin Johnson a whole game. You just couldn't do that. So they'd always put a bigger corner on him.
So mentioning Julio Jones, you know, that's obviously a team that the Packers are going to deal with in week two when they go down to Atlanta and open that new stadium. Do you expect that that's a situation where House is probably going to track Julio if he's healthy?
I don't think they can. I think they move Julio Jones around so much that they'll put him wherever they want. And there's going to be lots of rub routes. And they're going to kind of dictate who they go against. And the Packers, the big thing for them will be, and this was the case in the playoff game, you can double and take him out, but you got to stop the other guys. So go ahead and let your slot guy or let your Quentin Rollins or Randle on the other side or King or whatever cover him, and then the rest of your guys are got to match up with the rest of those receivers.
One of the things that's really interesting to me is the rate of growth for Kevin King over the next month or so, because I think there's a couple different ways of looking at it, and it's not really something that you can forecast, because I think a lot of Kevin King's early playing time is going to be contingent on how well or how poorly guys like Rollins and Randall play as well. So let's talk about it first in a perfect scenario, which is Randall and Rollins both play pretty well, and Devon House, you know, plays well. And so they've essentially got three guys that they can count on.
Right.
In that scenario, how do they try and sprinkle in King, or what type of a growth rate can they expect if everyone's playing well?
So there's a couple ways to do it. One, you could go nickel, and you would have – well, they're going to go nickel a lot. But you could go nickel with King on the outside, and then you just use Randall and Rollins as you see fit. Sometimes, you know, I think Randall is a better blitzer than Rollins. And so there's times you're going to want to use him more. Other times you're going to want Rollins. The other thing is you can play dime too, which they do. Now, they've been using Morgan Burnett as their dime slot guy. Now, they could go to Rollins and Randall playing the slot. It kind of really depends on matchups and how a team runs their defense. But King's going to be on the field. They're gonna find a way. I mean, he's a second-round pick. He's practically a first-rounder. They want to get him on the field. He's got, you know, a body length that they don't have. And I think you'll see him quite a bit.
So flipping it the other direction, if a number of those guys struggle, and knowing Capers the way that you do and seeing how he's brought along rookies over the years, if there's some real problems at the corner position, is he likely to throw King to the wolves early and just say, look, these guys aren't cutting it. Go out there and do what you got
to
do.
Heck yeah. Yeah, I think so. He doesn't like to play rookies, but he does like to find out about them. And I think he's found out that King's a good tackler. He's been decent in coverage. It's going to be a whole different ballgame when they get to the regular season and teams are game planning against him and, you know, studying his weaknesses and trying to exploit those, running routes that he hasn't, or combinations that maybe he hasn't seen before. So it'll be an adjustment, but I think he's got too much talent to leave off the field.
I'm really kind of intrigued by Josh Hawkins and the way he sort of turned around his training camp, because early on in camp he was not playing very well, and then all of a sudden he started to make some plays, and then he goes to Washington and has a terrific game. Mike McCarthy says he was the highest graded corner. I asked Demaryius Randall about Hawkins, and he just gushed and said it was a lights out game or a shutdown game, something like that, and said that it's exactly what they've expected from him based on his athleticism and things like that. So, you know, this is, of course, an undrafted guy that made the team as an undrafted rookie last year. Where do you think he can kind of fit into this? And obviously, he's going to have to play a key role in special teams, right?
Yeah, that's his number one role, is play special teams. He's going to be a gunner, and he's going to be a hold-up guy against the opposing team's gunners. Special teams is really where he'll start, and I don't think you'll see him play unless there's injuries at corner, or they've got to match up with a really speedy guy, you know, someone that they need someone to run with, and in that case, maybe even double. But I don't see him playing all that much. I think they know now what they have with him, or they think they know, and they need to see a little more consistency. But they got a really fast guy, and if something happens outside, they can use him if they need it.
When we broke down the Eagles game, we talked about Kevin King and how his tackling was pretty impressive for a very first showing.
Yeah.
In terms of the other guys, House, Randall, Rollins, Hawkins, how would you sort of think they shake out from a tackling standpoint? Because what Hawkins did in Washington was also pretty impressive.
Yeah, I was pretty impressed. He stuck his nose in there. He's not afraid to stick his nose in there.
Can House tackle? I've never seen him play in a Green Bay
uniform
before.
That's a good question. I can't remember whether House can tackle. I think he's more aggressive than he used to be, and he's a pretty big guy. So I would say he's at least average. Randall can be a really good tackler when he wants to be.
Exactly. That's the key phrase, when he wants to be.
Rollins is inconsistent. I think he's got decent form, or he tries to have decent form. He goes for the legs, but he misses tackles. I think those guys, boy, they got to prove some that they can tackle. I think that's going to be a big thing. I think Kevin King is showing to be one of their better tacklers.
Absolutely. And then the guy that we haven't really touched upon, you mentioned him briefly, is Ladarius Gunter. And mm-hmm. this is a guy that has kind of enjoyed a little bit of a resurgence now that he's moved to the slot. He had a really brutal start to camp where his lack of speed was just showing up play after play, and he was struggling to get downfield with guys. He's moved into the slot, and again, I asked Demaryius Randall about that, and he said he brings a real physical style of play to the mm-hmm. slot that Randall and Rollins can't necessarily do simply because their arms aren't as long, they aren't as big, they aren't as strong.
Yep.
But I kind of get the sense that he's another guy that maybe matchups will let him get on the field, but if they choose not to really go the matchup route, I think he's kind of in that Hawkins boat where he might not see a whole lot of playing time without injury.
I think if he makes the team, I think he could be inactive a lot of times. I think he would just be a guy you'd have ready in case you have injuries, and maybe there's an occasional matchup. I mean, I think last year Joe Witt talked about, can't remember what game it was. He wanted.
I think it was Keenan Allen in San Diego. Yeah, that was 2 years ago.
Yeah, and it said he should have used Gunter there
to try and jam Allen at the line.
Right, and so there may be assignments where they need him to do that. But he's not a great special teams player. He's not as good as Hawkins, and that hurts him. So if they keep him, he'll have a hard time being active.
So those are the top six. And then aside from that, you have the undrafted guys. And of those three, I think Lindsey Pipkins, Donatello Brown, and Rayshon Pringle have been the three that have sort of gotten the most playing time. Have any of those guys, do you think, done enough to at least put themselves in contention for a roster spot?
No, not really. I think Donatello Brown has skills, has athletic ability that You can see he can run, big guy. There's potential there, but I don't see keeping him over any of those other guys. And I think he'd be a good developmental guy to have on the practice squad. I don't think anybody would pick him up. I'm curious. I want to watch him on special teams a little bit this week and see if he shows up at all. But right now, I mean, I think you're set. You know, I think your corner group is set. The question is, how are you going to play them?
2 weeks ago, we talked to Joe Witt Jr., and I don't know if you want to put any stock into this or not, but he sort of threw out there that it's his job to find the best six corners and get them ready to play. And that's how many they had last year. And I think that with some of the injuries, you know, I don't think they would dip below that number and go to five.
I don't think so either.
So that's something to keep an eye on. And then another thing that sort of influences the playing time for these guys is some of the packages that they have with their safeties and how they want to get on the field. So should we start with Morgan Burnett, the most veteran player?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's his biggest role going to be this year?
His biggest role is going to be versatility, playing all over the damn place. It looks like they just feel like they can use him anywhere, and so they're using him in that nitro linebacker position. He's in the dime as a slot corner, which is always really surprising to me. And of course, he's in the back end, so I don't know where else you could use a safety. He's kind of going to be their I don't want to say playmaker, but, you know, that's kind of the role they have him in.
A couple questions for you. So when Burnett first came into the league, and of course he had, you know, the long dreadlocks, and he was a totally different player, A, did you anticipate this type of versatility? Did he show anything to indicate that? And then B, he's 28 years old and going into a contract year. Mm-hmm. How does that influence anything, maybe from his standpoint or the team's standpoint, going through this season?
Yeah, the thing I remember about him is they drafted him, and then as a rookie, he tore his ACL and didn't even know it. You know, he kept playing. And that was kind of a sign about, you know, what kind of toughness he had. It took a long time. He did not take to the defense very quickly. He made a lot of mistakes, and he still makes some mistakes, but he's getting in that time now, that age when, you know, safeties really see the game. Good safeties really see the game coming at them, and they can see it. It slows down more than it does for anybody else. I assumed for Charles Woodson it was like the other guys were walking and he was running. You know, I think that was the same for Leroy Butler and probably guys like Eugene Robinson, who were so smart and really knew the defense. It's probably getting to that point for him. He's, in terms of the contract year, boy, they've positioned themselves not to have to pay him a ton of money. Yep. And go with Josh Jones. But it's kind of one of those things where I think they'll play it to the end, and they'll wait in free agency and see where they're at, see how Josh Jones plays. If they're not confident in him, I mean, 28's not old.
No.
28 is reasonably young, and the guy has a lot of capital built in this defense. And it may just be that they decide, you know, they need him, especially with the way they're using him.
Now, last year we saw a little bit of that nitro linebacker from him at times, mm-hmm. and he was able to stay healthy. With the amount that they've showed it this year, I'm assuming Josh Jones will get some of those reps as well. But if they're going to play it as much as they've shown, that'll be interesting to see how much wear and tear is on Burnett's body when he's, you know, going up against some of these linemen at times in that nitro package. So that's definitely one thing to keep an eye on, is his health as he maneuvers through this contract year. Next to him, Clinton Dix. Made the Pro Bowl last year, was second team All-Pro, I think. Is he starting to get to a level where he can be considered among the better safeties in the league?
Yeah, I think so. I think, to me, he doesn't have one thing that stands out. He doesn't have, like, Nick Collins' speed or Darren Sharper physicality, jumping ability, but he seems to be pretty bright football player, and he's starting to understand where he can take a few chances. You saw that in the Washington game. He was kind of baiting the quarterback. That's when he's going to become really good, when he can start doing things like that, and then he can cover ground. He's not a blazing guy, but he's able to, from middle safety to sideline, you know, get to the sideline. So what separates those guys is how many times they're around the ball, how many interceptions they get. Really good safeties get lots of interceptions, and that's going to be the tell with him.
Well, he, I think, led the team last year in interceptions, but he also dropped a couple that he could have had. And that's why I thought it's been pretty, I don't know if noteworthy is the right word, but just something to keep an eye on, that him and Morgan Burnett, during a lot of the special teams periods when they don't have responsibilities, have been working with Devontae Adams, Randall Cobb, Jordy Nelson, and Luke Getsy with all this tennis ball stuff, this covering one eye and catching a ball, juggling bricks, all to try and work on their hand-eye coordination and hopefully pick off a couple more of those passes is essentially what they're trying to do. You know,
it's good work, but you know, what I notice from these guys is you don't see many interceptions in practice.
Nope.
Now, it's hard to pick off Rodgers. He's not going to throw a lot of interceptions, but they should be picking off Hundley at once in a while, and Callahan and Hill. And you just don't see safeties, especially, making a lot of interceptions.
He played essentially 100% of snaps last season and was healthy. He actually might have played 100%, or he might have missed maybe one or something like that.
Yeah.
But how likely is it that a guy can do that 2 years in a row?
I don't know, but he seems to me like one of those guys who his body is such that there's some guys who just don't get injured unless it's just some kind of really violent collision or, you know, he's really been durable. He doesn't roll ankles. He hasn't even really been hurt. You know, where he's been on the injury report that I recall much. So I think he could continue to do that.
A lot of the playing time behind those guys or supplementing those guys has come down to sort of a Kentrell Bryce and Josh Jones. I don't want to say competing because I don't think that's the right word, but they both have sort of distinct roles at this point.
Similar type players.
Bryce has been appearing a lot in the nickel, the nitro when one of the safeties moves down into the box, and then in the dime as well when Burnett goes and plays in the slot corner. Is that something that you think can last, or is that one of the types of things where we were talking about with Kevin King where eventually he might cede that position to Josh Jones?
I think right now they trust Bryce. I think he's shown that he knows the defense. He knows it better than he did last year. And I don't think he blew a ton of coverages last year. I think he just – his angles weren't great, and he
– Had some tackling issues,
tried to, you know, kill too many guys on the – take kill shots. But right now I think he's – far ahead of Josh Jones in terms of the defense. And Josh Jones is going to be one of those guys where you give him an assignment, you know, you say, play here and go hit somebody. And he'll go ahead and do that. I think at some point they will find a role for him. But right now, Bryce has got that thing locked down.
We talked about Burnett's versatility, and as I mentioned, both him and Jones have taken reps in that nitro linebacker position. I don't know if you agree with this or not, but to me, even though Burnett is obviously a very, very skilled athlete, it just looks different when Jones is in that spot. I mean, his speed is extremely evident, and do you agree that it just kind of looks a little bit different when he's flying around
sure.
on the field?
He's a big, powerful guy, and really good straight line speed. He's a 4.4 guy at what, 225-ish,
yeah, something like that.
I mean, that's pretty impressive. The thing is, he's gonna probably develop through practice, and they'll at some point, and this happens with all good players, if he's a good player, at some point in practice they're gonna say, we gotta get this guy on the field. You know, he understands what we're doing, and he's really talented. I don't think that'll be the case early on. I think he's going to have to sit some.
But he should have the makings of a pretty good special teams player.
Should. Yeah, the way he runs, heck yeah.
And he's obviously willing to hit, so that's something to keep an eye on there. How does Marwin Evans fit into this? He's sort of the forgotten guy at times in the back end of this group, but I thought he's actually had a pretty solid camp the last 2 weeks.
He has had a good camp, in my opinion. Just a solid backup. Going to be a good backup if something happens to Bryce, probably. That's where he would fill in. If something happened to Clinton Dix or Burnett, Bryce would probably take that spot. And then Jones would probably move into the nitro. I don't know how that would work exactly, but I think Marwin Evans is a guy, if you're starting to run low somehow on safeties, but he's definitely number four.
And he's another guy that Ron Zook...
Five, maybe.
Another guy that Ron Zook counts on special teams a lot. He's one of the guys that plays on every unit, and he's made a couple nice tackles so far in camp. Given that they drafted Josh Jones, given that they're so deep at wide receiver that they can't go as narrowly as they did at running back last year, any scenario where Marwin Evans doesn't make the team?
I don't see it. He's too good on special teams.
Agreed.
I think you don't get those kind of guys. And the fact that he's actually playing some safety and playing pretty well. I mean, playing okay. I'm not saying that he's a starter or that he should be pushing for playing time. He's acceptable. And he's really good on special teams, so you got to keep him.
And then last on the list, and I only bring this up really because of a special team standpoint, but they've mixed in Jermaine Whitehead in some of the first team special team units. I think he's on first team kickoff cover and maybe one of the punt units as well. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I think they see a lot in him as a special teams guy. I think he's another one of those guys who can run and hustle and has some size. They brought him up in last year and played him right away against Indianapolis.
And it didn't go so well.
No, it didn't go very well. But it did show that they saw something in him that they liked. And I don't know if they have enough spots to keep him. I kind of doubt it. I think four safeties is the most you can. They're going to be able to go with.
Well, they're going to take five.
You think they'll go five?
Well, they've got Clinton Dix,
Burnett,
Bryce, Jones, Evans.
Oh, yeah, that's five, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because so, last year they had six with Hyde.
Yeah, that's right. So, well, he has a kind of a swing guy.
Sure. So there's five safeties that we agree will make it.
Yeah.
And then six corners. So that's 11 DBs.
That's usually about right. You can keep 12. You can keep 12 if you're keeping fewer offensive linemen.
So maybe Whitehead sneaks on in that situation.
Maybe. Or maybe Donatello Brown, one of those guys. Really, that position is a special teams position. It's either that or it's a developmental guy that you just don't want to – you don't want to take a chance that someone else will pick him up.
Anything else you want to talk about with the DBs?
Boy, I think we covered a lot. It's – the thing about this is you watch preseason games and you're like, boy, they're playing great and, you know, this is really impressive. And then they get in the regular season and they get up against some really good receiver and it's like, I didn't realize that he couldn't cover that guy, or he's really raw, or he's not recognizing that coverage, or he's just getting beat. And rookies, very few rookie cornerbacks survive in the NFL. They don't excel. It's really a rarity. If you get anything, you get something out of them late in the year. So I think expectations need to be, you know, tamped down a little bit. That Kevin King's not going to be this stud right out of the boat. There's going to be receivers who can turn him around in circles. So keep that in mind.
And we saw today that during the one-on-ones, I'm not sure if you were on this side of the field or not, but on consecutive plays, Jordy Nelson turned around Demaryius Randall, and then on the very next snap, Randall Cobb turned around Quentin Rollins to the point where there was 5 yards between them and and the ball, and it was an easy catch. So, and they're going to see good receivers right off the bat. Doug Baldwin's a heck of a player, and Julio Jones, and obviously, as you mentioned, there's some depth there in Atlanta, so... It could be a pretty solid test early in the season for these guys.
Oh, yeah. Every week it is. There's good receivers on every team.
So we'll have to keep an eye on that as we get closer to cutdown day. It looks like we've got 11 DBs that we think have a chance to end up making the final roster, and we've got two more exhibition games to see how it plays out. I think, Tom, you'll be back tomorrow, I think, on the podcast.
Yeah, what is tomorrow, Saturday?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what day
it
is. Tomorrow's yesterday.
I'm on my flight tomorrow. Oh, wait. Okay. I'm not sure what day it is.
Well, you'll be on the podcast again this week, and you'll be out in Denver, back on the live blog.
Yes, back. And you did a good job on the blog. Yeah, it was pretty popular. So stick with it if you're going to watch the game on Saturday. And stick with the podcast, too.
All right. We will talk to you guys soon.